Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Things you won't hear in a gardening program.
Last week, you were complaining about rabbits being rampant in your garden and being a pest. But let me tell you, I've got a rampant rabbit, and when it's in my garden, it causes nothing but joy.
Well, I've been having terrible trouble with a mole. He keeps on passing confidential information to other gardeners.
See, here we see, we've got a nice rockery over there, and there's a lovely fountain we put in, and next to that is the tree of knowledge. You will not eat from the tree of knowledge!
If your lawn suffers from patchy grass, just grow it long one side and comb it over.
From the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And as if the really strange weather weren't bad enough, I walk in this morning. And Bedalia, I think you'll appreciate this, Ms. Lady B, answering the phones. Now, have you got that mic up all the way?
Yes.
It's still low.
It's still low?
Oh,
can you hear me now?
Now you go. Oh, now that's hot.
Sorry.
Let's split the difference a little bit there. Okay. So I got hate mail here.
What?
Yeah. I got hate mail.
Who could possibly hate us?
Well, you'd be surprised. Now, it's funny because my guests are in the studio, and that's David Gravel and Paul Colgan, and they were reading it outside. Why don't you're going to pick one of those mics? I don't know. I think that one. Okay, good. Either one. I don't care. Just roll on over.
That works for me.
Okay. That's David, and Paul is on the other end here. And I have people who, and they were expecting, because we work at a progressive talk station, that it would be some right wingers, and they it could be they are, don't know for sure, but it could be that they have other agendas. But they went after me for gardening stuff, and it wasn't that I got it wrong; it's that they didn't like the detail that I went into last week. About calcium in the soil and magnesium and how important it is actually to have calcium in your soil. And they're like, just tell me how to cut my lawn. Tell me when to water. Tell me when to cut. I don't want to hear anything else.
But that's what we need for the plants.
Well, yeah. I mean, a soil test is a very important thing. Actually, I had a guy write to me on Facebook this morning. He's asking about a soil test. And let me find that, because he wrote in, I think it's on the Mike Novak Show here. And I hope you'll go to Facebook and find the Mike Novak Show and like us. That would be a good thing. Go to, by the way, I'm going to ask you to go to Dig In Chicago, because that's my new television show. That is going to start on the 21st of April. I want to say August. No, not August. April. 21st of April on Comcast on Channel 102. Jennifer Brennan and I will be hosting Dig in Chicago, a gardening and cooking show, and I want you to go like that as well. That would be really nice. It's Dig in Chicago. All right, and Jonathan Smith wrote to me on Facebook this morning, how do I test my soil? What to do if my soil is too acid or alkaline? How can we improve our lawns without chemicals? Which is always the good thing. But so I, you know, I walk in and I get this hate mail. and I have some advice for the people who hate me and hate the sound of my voice when they turn on the radio. Here it is. Turn off the radio. Go someplace else. Go for a walk. You know what I'm going to tell you to do? Listen to a different radio station for a while and then come back if you want. I mean, if you love WCPT, you hate me, great. Knock yourself out. Do whatever you need to do, because I don't want to make you tense. If you get tense, the world is not a good place. It becomes a worse place. And stop doing it. You're making yourself crazy. I don't care. You know, send me all that crazy stuff you want. I don't care. So there we go. That's my advice for this morning. And by the way, for those of you who listen to my show and say, you say too much, I know that. Okay? Do you think I've never listened to a tape of my own show in the past? Yes, I know. It's one of those things. Some people say, you know, too much. I say, and I know I do that. I try not to. We all try not to. You know, we try to sound
but good. It's nice knowing that since we've been sitting here, I have yet to actually hear you say, except in response to the criticism.
Oh, wait a second. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. That's how I started my Sundays, people telling me what's wrong with me. That's good. Well, Dave, yes. Paul, do you guys want to tell me what's wrong with me?
No, yeah. We love you, Mike.
Good. I'm glad you said that, because otherwise I would have turned off your mic. All right. All right. On the show today, lots, as always, you know, and one of the things we will talk about is I'm going to answer Jonathan Smith's question about a soil test. Jonathan, if you're in the Chicago area, certainly in Illinois, you probably have alkaline soil. All right, I'm going to say that right now without too much controversy. If you're in Indiana, you might have some acid soil. If you're over in Michigan, yeah, you might have some of that. But generally in the area here, it's alkaline. How do you find out? You go to Illinois Extension. And I have a handout that I give to people that wait a second. I've got it right here, because I was at AllSip yesterday talking to the folks. If I can find the handout. Here it is. I was at AllSip Home and Nursery yesterday. Wonderful, wonderful event over there. Their flower and garden show for the spring. And it finishes today, so you'll hear more about that later. And I did a talk. And one of the things I always do when I give out talks is give people information like how to do a soil test. Now I'm going to see. Now I'm going to prove myself wrong. I'm going to be a liar here, because I think it's on this handout. No, wouldn't you know? I don't have it on here. But it's easy. I'm going to find that. Or Kathleen, maybe you can shoot that on Facebook, because if you go to Illinois Extension, you can find a list of labs that will do soil tests, and they have a page that says soil test, and it's real easy. And I'll tell you what, we'll have it up before the end of the show, and I'll give it out to people, and I'll certainly put it on Facebook. And yeah, you want to know if your soil is too acid. You want to know if it's too alkaline. I'm telling you, if you're in Chicago area, it's going to be alkaline. And really, there are things you can do, like add gypsum. And we were talking about that last week, which is a great way to reduce the alkalinity of your soil. You can add compost. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that Paul Tukey is going to be here from safelawns.org in the second hour. Now, Paul, we thought, was going to be with us last week. That was just a failure to communicate. And he is going to be here this week. We just got mixed up. And so we'll talk to him about that conference coming up next week, which is about organic lawn care. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan may be interested in that. So Paul's here in the second hour. Also in the second hour, Abby Ray, who's the manager of horticulture from the Morton Arboretum, is going to be talking more about the crazy spring weather and what it's doing for the trees or to the trees and how that will affect you. How the blooming, the blossoming of the tree. I got to tell you, being in my yard in the last 10 days has been like watching a time-lapse photography movie. It's unbelievable. Everything's blooming at the same time. You guys have seen this out there too.
Well,
right?
Actually, it's really cool because it seems usually
it's cool and disturbing.
Well,
all right,
it's cool and disturbing. It's very disturbing. What's cool about it is that we haven't gotten those typical April rains to like wash away all the flowers that you typically would see this in the spring. So it's actually spectacular. It's incredibly spectacular.
Yeah, but
early.
But
very
what?
Early.
But early. We're talking a month early.
Yes.
I saw lilacs getting ready to pop. I see them bloom in June.
Yes.
It is March, folks. So that's why Abby Ray is going to be here. I'm going to ask her what happens when everything blooms that early. What is it? Is it harmful for the trees? So we will talk to her. And then in the first hour, well, the guys are here already. And
actually, we're disembodied voices.
Good. They are David Gravel, RLA. He's a landscape architect, designer, and Paul Colgan. Paul, how do you define yourself?
Well, I am with Dave in a sense of helping him distribute his new product, the Flora Tube. So I'm out there pounding the pavement, talking to retailers, talking to different people about selling this product. So I'm the legs. He's the brains.
Uh-huh.
There's not much brains here.
Yeah, I just got a tweet, by the way. Mike, you made the big time. Next step, you get a stalker. Cool. We've got to find that soil test because we're tweeting. Oh, there it is. See, Kathleen's great. If you want to find a soil test, go to this website. And it's from my website, Compost Sources. There we are. Go to mikenovak.net/soil.htm. And I got all kinds of information about soil. Soil Quality Institute, Soil Food Web Incorporated, Composting Guides, Composting Council of Canada, and then compost sources like Lake Street Landscape Supply in Chicago, Midwest Organics Recycling in McHenry, mm-hmm. the Resource Center in Chicago, although I don't know they sell compost anymore. And then at the bottom it says online lists of soil testing labs. I've got the one from the University of Illinois Extension, from Purdue University Agronomy, from Cook County Farm Bureau, and from Organic Gardening. There's a list of soil testing labs throughout the U.S. There we go. It's all there. MikeNovak.net/soil.htm. A font of information. Here we go. So the guys that are in the studio... you're probably wondering about that, and one of the things I posted on Facebook is about, I'm sorry, and I have to call them this because it's just too funny. I think I call them now compost tube socks, and
sure.
And you don't really call them compost tube socks, but I think the word tube is funny.
It is, although we did hear somebody we did see recently actually said, you know, it looks kind of like a compost pillow. Compost.
That's cool.
I know. I thought it was a very cool thought, and I feel really disappointed that I didn't come up with it first. But it was a really cool way to describe it. But the compost sock is I can't even take credit for inventing any of this stuff. But what's really neat about it is that as the compost industry, as you mentioned, you know, the Canadian industry, and also don't forget the U.S. Composting Council is a really good one as well. They have been working for a long time in trying to identify new markets and new ways to use compost. And one of those is in the erosion sediment control area.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is in the urban agricultural area. And then there's obviously in the traditional agriculture, organic farming, and a lot of other areas. But the actual putting compost or coarse compost in a sock like or a tubular mesh material is kind of a been around for about 10 or 12 years as an idea. But unfortunately, Chicago seems to have been behind in this sense.
Really? You mean it's elsewhere and people have been using this and not here?
It is.
And you got to understand, if you want to see what this is really, there's a couple of places you can go. You can go to my website, for one thing. Go to this week's show. Go to mikenovak.net and click on this week. Look at the photo that is down the page, somewhat down the page. You can see a picture of David Gravel and Kathleen standing around tube socks that compost tubes. I know. You call them flora tubes. You call them.
The generic term is a compost sock.
I like compost tube sock.
Compost tube sock. Oh, I like it. It's very 70s.
Is it really?
It's very, like the, remember the old tube socks?
You can see the photos, and David was kind enough to bring a bunch of them to our community garden, the community garden on my block, Green on McLean. So you can see that there. But you can also go to Soil Control, Inc.
Yep.
And you'll see them there.
Yep.
And that's just Soil Control, Inc.
.com.
SoilControlInc.com, and you'll see the Flora Tube. If you and I've got the link right here on this week's show, so you can go there. But just take a look at the picture on my page. They're kind of neat, and the point is, this is a sack. It's a fabric that has compost in it
mm-hmm.
when you get it, mm-hmm. which means that basically, as you've told me, you could throw it on a parking lot pavement and start planting.
Yes,
any hardscape doesn't matter.
A
all
deck
it needs is sun, water, and seed.
That's it. Now, the only issue seems to be, how do you plant into it? Because you have to create a little
opening,
get mm-hmm. through the barrier, which sure. is the tube sock.
Yep.
And then decide whether you want to put a seed in there. Do you want a starter plant? How do you want to do this?
Last year when we did our test area, we actually used 4-inch pots, which was a little bit much. But I think we told you before that we had started later in the season. The ideal setting would be, you know, like right now. You know, you could actually, well, okay, maybe right now in a normal year, you could actually go start with seed and plant it that way. Or, you know, if you're using it in a more of an agricultural type setting in a high tunnel, you could obviously plant things accordingly, or a seedling. And so, you know, either seed or seedling seem to be the ideal situation.
Have you had better success with one or the other?
No, but I'll say that the 4-inch pot really ruins the integrity of the sock itself because you have to cut such a large opening to get mm-hmm. the actual root ball into the material. Whereas a smaller, you're basically having a smaller footprint. We all like smaller footprints to get the material, to get the plant actually in the material. And then mm-hmm. once it's in there, it'll start growing and the roots will do its thing. And what's nice about it is because of the mesh material itself, where the sock is not in contact with a surface like a pavement or whatever, it'll actually do a bit of an air pruning on so the roots themselves don't get all balled up like you would in a typical pot or in a canister.
Oh, that's true.
Like that.
If they come out
yes.
through the side of the sock, they're not going to survive. And so
correct.
And they'll
right.
they
naturally prune.
They'll become desiccated and drop off.
Yes.
Well, I prefer to start with either seedlings or plugs just because I want to see more immediate results. I'm probably not as patient to start from a seed, but I would prefer to buy some seedlings or plugs or start them in a smaller thing and then put them into the sock just because that way you can control it a little bit better from my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the idea here is convenience, and it's really what your preference would be.
We're talking to David Gravel and Paul Colgan, and they're with Soil Control, Inc. and Green Organics, Inc. Green Organics is the people who provide the compost.
Correct. Absolutely.
But Soil Control Inc. does the tube sack.
Correct. Absolutely.
Do you need a tube sack with compost? Who doesn't need a tube sack with compost in it? All right, we got to do some business. We'll get back. I want to talk a little more about this. And if you got a question or a comment, 773-763-9278. You can tweet us. Mike Now is the handle. Or you can go to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. You could even go to Mike Novak on Facebook. I hope you're listening to us on the radio. If you're not, you can catch us streaming. You can find that link at MikeNovak.net or ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com, either way, and direct your hate mail to all of those different places. I welcome it. Bring it on, baby. I've got one for you. I know you've got to keep track, Lady B, of commercials and stuff, but I left my coffee cup out there someplace. It's either in production or it's in sales. It's you can't miss it. It's a nice green coffee cup. It's a recyclable coffee cup.
Okay.
You know, it's you know, my travel cup, green, and it's bright green, so you can't miss it. And I refuse to do this show without coffee this morning.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lady B. The folks at Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana, are pretty amazing. To get ready for their annual flower and garden show, they arranged for 9 days in a row of record-breaking warm temperature. That's what I call show prep. Don't you think so? actually, they might not have had anything to do with the weather, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't stop by today, which is the final day of the show at both locations. I was in Frankfurt yesterday, and you can't believe the color and the excitement. Best selection, great values, learn and grow seminars, plus you'll have a chance to win the new Apple iPad. Why wouldn't you go? It was fun. I met a number of listeners, one of whom said, "Hey, I listen to your show all the time. I heard about this. I usually drive by. I've never stopped into Allsip. I thought, I'll stop in." And they ran into me, and we talked. It was really a lot of fun. The final day of the Flower and Garden Show is today at their stores in Frankfort, Illinois. That's Allsip, Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana. Yay, my coffee's here. Okay, sorry. And in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Get the schedule of events at www.allsipnursery.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Yeah, David's tried to do a conversation with me off air. He doesn't realize that I get 30 seconds of recorded stuff, and then it's back to the read. Yeah. Let the sun shine. It's a little foggy today, but we can sing Let the Sun Shine In or not. DuraTurf from Bonide is a premium seed mix that will not only grow thick, it will grow in both sunny and shady areas, so you get a nice even spread. Bonide takes advantage of some of the best varieties of grass seed available for their DuraTurf grass seed mixes. You can choose from full sun, sun and shade, and dense shade grass seed mixes that will give your lawn, well, give you a lawn that is self-repairing, disease and insect resistant, and will grow in poor soil. Although it doesn't hurt to make it better soil. That's why we're talking about compost this morning. And it's 99.9% weed-free, so you can expect a nice, even growth. Try DuraTurf Premium Grass Seed Mix by Bonide. You can find it at these local retailers. Knuper Nursery in Palatine, Illinois. And I ran into a guy at Allsip yesterday who used to work for Knuper, and I finally figured out how to say Knuper. I asked him, I said, "Don't some people say Knuper? And some people say Knuper," and he said, "Yeah, but it's Knuper." ProSec Garden Center in Winfield, Illinois, Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais and Kankakee, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonite Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or your Droid. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, home of the man who says, way too much, but he's working on it. And in the studio, I have David Gravel and Paul Colgan, and we're talking compost. You'll appreciate this. I got a tweet here, David.
Yes.
Let's see if I can find it now. And somebody put an alert out that I needed my coffee. It is Snarky Vegan, and I haven't seen her tweet for a long time. Hi, Snarky Vegan. How are you? She says, the sock as from the same company that makes that awesome compost that's from food waste. I love that stuff.
Is Snarky Vegan in the Forest Park area, perchance? I know, because we
I helped think she
them
might
out,
be.
Because I think we helped them last year with our community garden.
Oh.
And they loved our compost, and it did a wonderful job, and they were very, very pleased with it.
And another tweet here that compost socks, tube socks, and that's what I call them, compost tube socks, are a great invention. Thanks for the great tip, and it sounds okay. Well, then we should get to the point that how do people get a hold of these if they want them for a community garden or for their backyard? You gave me one of these socks.
Yes. And said, have you planted it yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out where. But it's not like it's going to go anyplace. That's the other thing. It sits there.
Yes.
It's a small, that's like a 2 footer. No, you gave me like a 1 foot, one and a half.
They're about a foot and a half.
Foot and a half.
And we can always do larger if they're, if we have a special.
And you said if you have a patio, you just throw that out there, bam, plant into it.
Yes, pretty much. And what's nice about it, like I say, it's good for vegetables. It's good for flowers. We're actually playing around with ideas of certain perennials as well. Mm-hmm. So again, depending on what type of gardening you're doing, it's challenging because your hardcore gardener probably would view something like this as maybe a waste. I could just go buy a pot and I could do something. But what I'm finding, especially in talking with Paul, well, and I'll let you kind of share some of what you've been hearing.
We've been talking a number of people. Sorry, I was.
He was mesmerized by David there for a second.
Is,
wow.
Right, I was just taken in by him. I just wasn't anticipating the cue. But, we've been talking to people out in the community about it, the convenience factor. And for urban people, the fact that you can put on your balcony, on your porch, your deck, your sidewalk, whatever, if you have no yard and plant a small garden, the mere convenience of it is very exciting. And we're finding that people who want to garden but yet don't want to go through all the extra steps to create a garden love this product as a sort of interim step to get them to a garden quickly.
Well, talk about the compost that's in it that is courtesy of Green Organics, Inc. Let's talk a little bit about Green Organics, Inc.
Well, the compost itself is OMRI-listed, and I'm sure your listeners all know, I presume your listeners know about OMRI.
No.
Don't
presume anything.
Since...
And if you're going to talk about it, and then I'll get hate mail. But go ahead. Talk about OMRI.
Well, you can forward the hate mail to me.
I will. Absolutely.
OMRI, several years back, there were a lot of people that were greenwashing the organic produce that was being created and sold and things like that. And so to help with that, the USDA created the National Organic Program, the NOP. And as part of the NOP, this National Organic Program, they identified a series of steps for the various inputs that would go in with the organic gardening. And they identified certain reviewers that would look at whether it was organic pesticide or organic fertilizer or soil amendment or whatever it is to see, if you follow certain steps, you as an organic grower could still call your produce certified organic. And So OMRI was one of those entities, which is the Organic Material Review Institute, and they're located, I believe, up in the Oregon area. And they look at different products to identify whether or not if they meet the USDA requirements. And if they meet those USDA requirements, they then call it OMRI listed.
Good.
And that's about it. And that's the compost. The compost itself is landscape waste, and then we also have food waste. Food scraps.
And we talked
me,
about
food
you.
Scraps.
Food scraps.
Yes.
Now, why did you correct yourself there?
Because I've been beat up by a lot of folks who say that it's not a waste because it's still a good product. And so it's actually a scrap.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was a legalese kind of thing.
Oh, gosh, no. I've just been beat up enough times by people correcting me.
Well, and it's true because when we start talking about things that are waste, when you say food waste, let's put it this way. When you came on the show, you were here last August?
No, something like that.
July, I don't know. And I think it was July. And we talked about the compost bill that had been passed in Illinois,
yes,
allowing more efficient composting of food scraps.
Yes.
And that's because in Illinois, food scraps had been considered toxic.
They were
like, they might as well have been uranium,
yes,
or plutonium or something, because and I understand it to some degree where the health is concerned. You have health issues. You don't want people getting diseases. You got to fear E. coli and other pathogens, and yet it was like the woman who came on my show last year and said, we're all afraid of soil. Why are we afraid of soil? Soil's a good thing.
It is.
And especially the materials, right, the food scraps that go in to make soil.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, that the whole composting process, as it was Kay McKean, actually, who had identified, everything decomposes. And all composting is an acceleration of that decomposition process.
Mm-hmm.
And so food, it decomposes just like everything else. And there's, because of the way the composting process works, you have, because we're an EPA-regulated facility,
mm-hmm,
Green Organics is, there's certain thresholds, certain requirements that need to be met. And one is ensuring that those pathogens that you mentioned, the E. coli and the fecal coliform and whatever else might be bad, are actually rendered inert through that composting process because it's heated up.
Are all the composts that come out of Green Organics OMRI listed?
No. Right now, we just have the one. And that's the landscape waste material,
mm-hmm,
is the OMRI listed one. We wanted to see test just one product initially and see how it was going to work, what was going to happen, and how the actual OMRI process was.
Mm-hmm.
I had been forewarned previously, Green Organics has been forewarned, that the compost, the OMRI, could be a very daunting process to go through. And apparently they had streamlined it over the years, and it was actually relatively simple. You know, you submit the information to them, they review it, and you get a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
That is David Gravel. Paul Colgan is also here. When we come back, people want to know how to get a hold of this stuff. We'll tell them how to do that. Okay. You might want to move any small children out of earshot. I'm about to talk about something shady. Nah, not that kind of shady. I kid. I'm talking about Pesci's free gardening seminar on shady garden plants next Saturday, March 31st, from 9 to 10 a.m. Pat Kane of Chesapeake Nursery will be talking azaleas, boxwoods, holly, rhododendrons, Japanese maples, ground covers, and perennials, and will give you the lowdown on proper siting, soil prep, and planting of these semi-shade plants. They always talk about that semi-shade. Yeah, you live in the city. You got your 3-flat, your 4-flat, your big industrial apartment building shade. That's sometimes tough. The free seminar, and it is free, is coming Saturday, March 31st from 9 to 10, as I said. And it's in the beautiful and spacious educational auditorium at Pesci's and Des Plaines. We've broadcast from there a couple of years ago. We did a remote from out at Pesci's. While you're there, you could always pick up some semi-shade plants if you're looking to get started, or maybe something else like veggies. All of Pesci's veggies are free of sprays and fertilizers. Listen, folks, if you buy tomatoes, and they do have some, from what I understand. Dr. Wally told me that, but don't put them outside, okay? Do yourself a favor. If you're going to get your tomatoes right now, and David, you're nodding. Yeah, I said, it's a bad idea. I don't care You know, now and actually it's encouraging that we've gotten back down to the 60s and the 50s. That's good because people will say, no, my tomato will suffer. If you buy a tomato, what you want to do is put it indoors, give it lots of light, and get it ready for June 1st. There you go. And that's a long way away. You should know that Pesci's veggies are free of sprays and fertilizers. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more info, visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Here's a tip from the care of trees. Have you ever wondered what your trees are actually worth? Trees help us in many ways. They help control storm water runoff, save our home's energy usage, increase our home's property value, improve air quality, and reduce carbon in the atmosphere. Your trees are worth more than you may realize. So how do you find out the benefits of that your particular tree provides? The National Tree Benefit Calculator is a website that allows anyone to get a better understanding of the approximate value of their trees. It's very simple to use. All you need to know is the type of tree and the diameter of the trunk. After selecting your climate zone by entering your zip code or choosing from the map, you enter the tree's species and diameter. Once calculated, you can see detailed benefit information on your tree. And here's the site. I talked about this a few weeks ago, and somebody wrote to me, yeah, that sounds cool. I want to find out the value of my tree. Go to treebenefits.com, treebenefits.com, to calculate the value of your trees. Then invite the certified arborist at The Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. 394-4220, The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
More and more people are growing their own food, and the urban agriculture movement is changing the way we eat by giving us access to nutritious and tasty, and that's a key element, tasty food from our own neighborhood gardens. Something else is changing in urban agriculture. Grand Street Gardens in Chicago is now Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. Yeah, they've changed their name. I'm glad to have them back on the Mike Novak Show as a sponsor. We have a wonderful relationship with them and love Christy. She's great. And you can still count on them for quality shrubs, tropicals, flowers, and a wide variety of heirloom seeds. You want to know what's really neat? They carry materials and equipment to build your own beehives and chicken coops. And they're holding educational classes too, like the upcoming drip irrigation workshop this Wednesday, March 28th, from 7 to 8 p.m. There's even a garden club that will meet Mondays from 4 to 5 p.m. starting April 2nd. Oh, and they have full-time gardeners on hand to help you with your purchases. Have questions? Ask away. You know the best way to find out what's happening on Grand Avenue? Stop by and talk to the expert staff at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, right in your own backyard. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. If you don't or can't catch the whole program live, I'm always running into folks say, yeah, but I go to church. Well, you know, church is overrated, but if you want to do that, that's, you know me. This is why I get hate mail.
That's okay.
This is why I get hate mail. You can listen on the podcast, see? And you don't have to skip church and... You know?
See, Mike, but if they're listening to you, then they're probably not in church either.
Well, but some people catch me on the way to church. They catch you, you know, for 10 minutes in the car with the kids.
Got it.
and sometimes without the kids. And sometimes they tell the kids,
Don't listen to that.
Don't put your fingers in your ears, kids. All right. Before I let you out of here, Paul Colgan and David Gravel. All right. We've been talking about these tube sock, compost tube socks. Where can folks get them? I can't imagine you walk into a big box store or even a local independent garden center and pick one of these up. It's got to be pretty much special order, right?
Right now, that's how you get them. I'm out talking to a large convenience store chain, food retailers, garden centers about the product, but it's a new product, so it's going to take some time to kind of get people to know it and to want it. But if you want to get some tube socks or Flora tubes, as we prefer to call them. But that's okay. I'm going to go with it.
Roll with it, baby.
I'm going to roll with it. You can do two things. The email chicago.gardening@gmail.com.
Wait. Okay, you're going to throw out a website like this. Okay.
Well, this is just an email.
An email.
We're still working on the website, the educational website to go with it.
But you can also go to my website and find Soil Control, Inc., and could they contact you through there?
Yes. You can contact David at Soil Control.
And what was – give me that email address again.
chicago.gardening@gmail.com or call 312-259-9114. 312-259-9114.
Okay.
And so I want people to do two things. One, if they want the product, contact me either by email or phone, but also tell me who their local garden center is.
And that's Paul, by the way.
This is Paul.
Colgan is his last name.
And tell me where your local garden center is, where you'd like to see it carried, because I've been out talking to the garden centers, and because it's new, they want to learn more about the product. We're educating them and telling them about it, but we also want to show them how much people can benefit from them selling the product. So this is a way that the listeners can help me to get the product out into the neighborhood and also convince the marketplace to carry it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even know what's can be done until folks create a demand for it, right?
Pretty much.
And I just got a tweet. I got to tell you, Snarky Vegan says she's a heathen. There's no church for her. But there's a difference between a heathen and an atheist, you know.
That's true.
I can't believe
some of my best friends were
heathens. Meshuggah missed it, but in 30 seconds, what's the purpose of compost tube socks? Well, basically, it's gardening on the fly. It's pretty much wherever you want.
Yes. Convenience gardening.
You throw it down. The compost is in. Oh, and the one question before you leave, the compost gets spent.
Yes.
So what's the story? How long there are people who replace their compost every 6 months.
Right. 2 to 3 years is generally what this works.
But can you fertilize these tube socks?
Well, I was going to say, yes, you're anticipating my half breath. Yes, basically what I'm telling people, compost does have is it is heavily nutrient rich, but I'm also recommending people, just like any kind of soil, you know, you may need to have some level of nutrient management along with it. And so, you know, whether it's a liquid fertilizer or whether it's a granular, you know, either.
But here's the point I would make. I would go in the direction of what's the soil. What is the biology in a tube sock, compost tube sock? I would assume it's not the same biology that you have in the ground, but that there is biology in there. So if you've got biology, you probably want to stay away from the synthetic fertilizers.
Right. And I wasn't suggesting I never said that.
Okay. All right.
I just said liquid fertilizer, right?
All right. You did.
Could be a nice OMRI listed of liquid fertilizer would be just fine.
All right. I got to get to Rick DeMille. Thank you guys again. Folks, if you want more information, chicago.gardening.
Gardening, yes.
Chicago.gardening. I was writing real fast. Chicago.gardening@gmail.com or 312-259-9114 or go to my website. It's all up there. David and Paul, thanks for coming down to the studio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
If you haven't ordered your D. Landreth Seed 2012 catalog yet, here's another tasty reason. Current Tomato Gold Rush. Now, if you think that children's gardening should be about fantasy, you need to include the incredible and edible endlessly long Gold Rush Currant tomato vine. Currant tomatoes are actually a different species of tomato, and true currants are always red. Because it is orangish yellow in color, Gold Rush is not a true currant, but a currant cross. Are you with me, folks? Are you following this? The fruits are larger than the tiny currant tomatoes, but are still much smaller than a cherry tomato. It's the vines that are astonishing. They can grow 15 to 20 feet and should be left to grow along the ground where the abundant small fruits can be easily harvested by kids. Amy Goldman, in her book, The Heirloom Tomato, says, squatting astride the plant to gather fruits makes you feel like Godzilla stopping Tokyo. Now, this is what you want your kids doing. Yeah, yeah. All right. Sorry, Lady B. It's looking at me kind of funny there. And that was a really bad Godzilla impersonation. Gold Rush is a delightful combination of sweetness and tomato-y flavor, and you can order it from the fabulous 2012 D. Landreth Seed Company catalog. Log on to LandrethSeeds.com or call 800-654-2407 or find them on Facebook. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. Rick DeMaio weather in just 60 seconds. If you're a nature lover in Illinois or Wisconsin, Openlands has good news. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is recommending that the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge be established on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. I've talked about that on the show. We talked about it last year. It's a really cool thing. It would be the closest wildlife refuge to the 11 million people of the Chicago, Rockford, and Milwaukee metro areas and would provide large blocks of habitat for endangered migratory bird species, including the Henslow sparrow, short-eared owl, red-headed woodpecker, and federally endangered whooping crane. But in order to make this happen, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wants to hear from you. Email a letter of support by visiting the website of the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, which you can do by visiting openlands.org and clicking on to their action alert. Or if you're in the neighborhood, attend one of the public meetings on Tuesday, April 3rd in Ringwood, Illinois, and Wednesday, April 4th in Genoa City, Wisconsin. For details, again, go to openlands.org and click onto the action alert for Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge. Support the establishment of the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge by visiting openlands.org and emailing a letter of support, and I would say that you should do it today. All right, it's that time to go to Rick DeMaio and find out just what records got broken this week. A couple, maybe. But that, you know, it's weird because what's do you know what the temperature is right now by any chance?
I haven't checked in about an hour, but I think it's like 50.
You know, and two weeks ago, we would have said, "Wow, 50, that's pretty warm."
Yeah, we would have said that for our current pattern, and then we've also would have said, "Oh, isn't that a normal high for the time of year? It's actually 50 degrees." So I know, Mike, it's weird. Like it's like we're kind of all screwed up in some ways.
Well, that's why in the second hour I'm going to have Abby Ray from the Morton Arboretum. When you talk about being all screwed up, it seems to me the plants are a little screwed up, and I don't know if it's permanent. This I don't think so, but you know, plants are very resilient. But for the year, the plants that are likely to be most affected are trees and shrubs. It seems.
Yeah, I think the question is okay. Well, what does this mean? I mean, is just the stuff that's blooming now bloom out and then it'll die, and we have to wait another month for something else to come up?
Well, that's part of it too. I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably. But in the end, you know, you look out the window and you go, wow, it looks really pretty out. It looks like the first week of May.
Well, it looks weird. Here's what it looks like, Rick.
Or maybe the last week of April, something like that.
No, I'm saying it looks like the last week in March and all 4 weeks of April and a couple of weeks in May all rolled together.
Yeah. Essentially, we had that in about, I think it was about an 8 or 9 day period of time. And, you know, what's amazing, Mike, is you know, we talked about this last week, and I said, you know, it's one thing being warm, but when you get a couple of days where the overnight low temperature is only in the low 60s, and even though we broke a lot of afternoon highs, our overnight lows we broke as well. I think we had 5 days where the overnight low temperature was the warmest we've ever had. And as a gardener, you know that it's not so much what you get up to in the afternoon. It's what you stay at during the overnight hours.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, tomatoes love it when you have overnight low temperatures of like 75. You know, that term that you can actually hear them growing at night. And that was the case with this warm spell. It stayed so mild overnight that you woke up the next morning and it's like, wow, things look greener now than they did yesterday when I went to bed. It really is amazing.
It is. And I've never seen lawns green up this early. And Paul Tukey's going to be on in the second hour. We'll talk about what folks should and should not be doing with their lawns right now. But normally I would be saying, wait till the middle of April. Nothing's going to happen now.
Well, I mean, as a master gardener, do you feel somewhat humbled that this scientific experiment occurred without any help from human beings, and all we're really doing is sitting back and kind of watching it, and you're kind of in some sort of slow motion awe in some respect? I mean, don't you think that's kind of the best way to describe it?
I don't know, because I have to ask you, did we have something to do with this? All right, you sent me a very interesting PowerPoint. Somebody's making the argument that it's the debris field floating from Japan that caused this warm spell. And you said...
Well, this is a person from AccuWeather, and I think also in his blog he mentioned that he can see Russia from Alaska. but he actually had 2 points in his blog about, you know, trying to figure out, you know, why the winter was the way it was and the warm spell. And his second part of the blog actually made some sense. And the first part really begins with, and I have to caution people because this particular section of the blog was in a article in the Chicago Tribune on Thursday. And I really have to say something negative here. Why the Tribune would pick up on something so silly and make a story out of it when they really didn't even use the entire blog. They only took certain, you know, one part out of it that seemed to be somewhat interesting for people to go, really? But it had zero scientific merit. And I think to myself, where did journalism go? That's all we're doing, is we're taking something from a blog and which has some sort of bizarre sounding, maybe it could be that. Let's put a story together. And even if you read this person's blog from, you know, from AccuWeather, he actually says, I may be nuts, and this is just a theory. There's really very little scientific evidence to anything he says, which basically says that the area of debris coming off the tsunami from last year lines up perfectly with the area of warmer water compared to where it was the year before in the Pacific. And that's the reason why the storm track went to the north. And that's the reason why we had a mild winter.
You know,
it's an if then else statement that otherwise has no other scientific basis to it. And really, Mike, it's getting laughed at in the meteorological community.
Well, as it should. On the other hand, your point is well taken. A guy can write a blog about this, but what the heck is the Chicago Tribune doing reprinting that kind of garbage? You know, this is I don't often quote what's her name, Palin up in Alaska, but you know, this is a case for the lamestream media, quote.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. Well, I think part of it was, and I forget the person who wrote the article, and actually I emailed him yesterday and I said, can you explain to me why this was printed? I think part of it was the Tribune was trying to come up with something on why the forecast busted so much. And that's what I think what AccuWeather was doing. They were trying to basically cover up a really, really bad forecast. And they even admitted it was really bad. But to me, when you try to cover up a mistake with something that's even more bizarre, I don't think you're doing the proper way of,
no.
of covering up your tracks.
Uh-huh.
And, And I think it could have been written I'm not trying to slander the Tribune. They need.
Oh, let's go ahead. Why not? What are they going to do?
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
Or AccuWeather. I think AccuWeather has a lot of reputable people who work for them. But it just seemed like such a strange thing to talk about, and everybody has been nailing it. And unless there's some sort of composting going on in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in these garbage piles. I even asked the physics teacher at Oakland Community College yesterday, can debris in the middle of the ocean cause the water to be warm? And he stopped and he looked around and he goes, how would that happen? And he just goes, it's lighter. It probably is blocking sunlight.
Oh, boy.
Unless there's some sort of radioactive material with it, which obviously didn't occur either.
Hey, haven't you seen the movie Butterfly Effect? Come on.
Anyway, Mike, I think it just shows that there's a lot of stuff in scientific blogs that sometimes really don't have much science behind them. And that was kind of a real shame because there was a lot more things that went into this winter being what it was. And, yeah, I think what you're asking is, have humans have some impact on what happened? I think, yeah, and I think we still haven't really gotten an understanding of the variability that we've seen so often in our winters and springs and summers over the last few years, and people look back at they look at Europe, how cold they were for a period of 6 weeks, but failed to recognize that the first 8 weeks of their winter, they were really, really warm. But everybody's going to remember the really, really cold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look back at that this winter as being so non-snow and so non-cold, that added to the fact that, yeah, maybe from now on, when we have winters like this, we'll probably have spring warm-ups that will be like this. And I've talked to a bunch of people in the weather field, and we all went, you know what, guys? We're seeing something for the first time that we've never seen before. Let's just not talk about the numbers. Let's talk about, is this a possibility that could happen again? And that's why I mentioned the term before, this slow sense of awe, which is really weird because usually the word awe is like you sit there and you watch fireworks go up in front of you. But this kept going on and on and on.
I know.
You saw records being broken that you've never seen before, and you're going, what is going on? And I think it's a great thing to be a part of because who knows, 500 years from now, there could be some scientists digging up trees in northern Illinois, and they'll go, wow, look at this really wide tree ring. I think we dated it back to 2012. I wonder what happened, and I think it begs the question, what if it really does? And the funny thing about it, Mike.
And you've got 30 seconds here for weather forecast as well, just letting you know.
Yeah, I know that. You haven't heard anything from the other side about the global warming naysayers. They're all really, really quiet right now.
They certainly are. I like that part. I don't like the global warming, but the naysayers. We're not going to go back to what we had last week, right?
Yeah, great weather today. Maybe a little bit of rain on Tuesday, but otherwise temperatures about 10 degrees above average. A little bit cooler, though, on Monday with the wind off the lake, Mike.
10 degrees above average still. It's going to feel like it's to average.
I guess that's probably the best way to think about it.
Yeah. All right. Rick DeMaio Weather. Hey, listen, you're great. I got some great email this week. They love you out there. They want to know why you're not on Twitter, but other than that, they love you. All right.
I got too many things to do. I got to go to church. That's why I'm not on Twitter.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Okay.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak. I gotta wear shades. I gotta
wear shades. I gotta... Yeah, especially when it's 87 degrees in March. But we're back to almost kind of, sort of, maybe normal-ish kind of weather now. And we will talk to Abby Ray from the Morton Arboretum about that in just a second. You know, we love vegetables here on the Mike Novak Show, and we like to believe that they love us back. But you know what else veggies like? Dr. Earth's homegrown probiotic vegetable garden planting mix. It's rich in earthworm castings, kelp meal, and fish bone meal, and ideal for organic gardens. Remember, hold off planting on warm season vegetables right now. I said that earlier. Stick with lettuce, spinach, carrots, radishes, broccoli, you know, those cool things. And doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers cannot be wrong. Visit drearth.com to find a dealer near you. Couple of things going on that I want to let folks know about. I wanted didn't want this to slip away as I multitask here. I saw a presentation this week about multitasking and how useless it is and how you're really not doing anything when you multitask. But I don't have a choice here. I don't have a chance either. I don't have a choice when I'm on the radio. There's just I'm surrounded by computer screens and keyboards and CD players and all kinds of and bells. And right, Bedalia?
Yes.
It's nutty here. It's nutty. All right, a couple of things I want to let folks know about. One, tomorrow night, I am speaking at the Palos Heights Garden Club meeting at the Lake Catherine Nature Center. That's 7402 Lake Catherine Drive in Palos Heights. I'm doing a lot of Southside stuff. Yesterday it was down in Frankfort. Now I'm going to Palos Heights. It's a 7 o'clock meeting. Now, if you're not a member of the clubs, it's $5 to get in to hear me speak. I'm not sure why you'd want to pay $5 to hear me speak, but you know, you might never know. But the meeting's tomorrow and it's 7 p.m. Again, Lake Catherine Nature Center. I'm going to be talking about the Green and McLean garden, community garden on my block. It's and that whole lead in the soil thing, which is such a huge part of that if you're an urban or even a suburban gardener. So again, tomorrow night, Monday, March 26th, 7 p.m., Lake Catherine Nature Center for the Palos Heights Garden Club. The other thing I received let me say something right now about this. I get a lot of notices and people want me to do stuff and get the notices out about their meetings and so forth and events. And I'm really happy to do that. And sometimes I run out of time. Sometimes I plain forget. You know, there's a lot of stuff. I could be more organized. I do the best I can. I want to help out if I possibly can. And this is a silent auction fundraising event for the University of Illinois Extension for DuPage, Kendall, and Kane counties. It's going to be at the U of I Extension, DuPage County, on Warrenville Road in Naperville next Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And why is to supply funds to overcome the reductions in funding for extension programs like 4-H, like Master Gardeners, DuPage Convalescent Center Gardening, work in elementary and high school environmental programs. Extension does so much, and it's been really disappointing and frustrating in the past couple of years because so much money has gone away from Extension, and the work that Extension does is fabulous. And money put into Extension is multiplied, sometimes three- and fourfold, because there are so many volunteers. So you get the word out initially, and you pay for these volunteers, and they go out and they do things. And it's not just 4-H, and it's not just Master Gardeners, as I said here, Convalescent Center Gardening, work in elementary and high school environmental programs. There's all kinds of health programs that go on Extension. So this is going on this Saturday, March 31st, and so now the Extension is in the situation where they have to all try to augment their funds by fundraising. And this is a message to any of the state legislators who might be listening. Please, if you can fund Extension, that would be a really, really good thing. Anything you can do to help do that. So this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., The bidding ends at 12 o'clock. There, it's Gardner's Christmas in March. It's a silent auction and guest speakers. There's hand spades, wheelbarrow gloves, pruners, rakes, pots, watering cans, compost. And it is at 1100 Warrenville Road, University of Illinois Extension Campus in Naperville. And if you want to get more information, go to DuPageFriendsOfExtension.org. DuPageFriendsOfExtension.org. And I hope you can help out. And also, one more before we get to Abby. And Bedalia, I have to tell you something. Yeah. Remember last week when the screen? See, Bedalia gets the phone, folks, the people online, puts it up on a screen here that's in front of me.
Yeah.
The screen shuts down after a while. It times out.
It shut down again?
Yeah. It shut down again, so I have no idea who you've got there. Could you get Mikey here?
Sure.
Wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. Maybe I have figured it out. Hold on. Let's see. That would be view preference. Is this it? Nope. That wasn't it. Let's cancel that. All right. Well, oh, here we are. I found it.
All right.
I think I did. Now I've got to find the right one. Oh, this is so hard. Okay. See, this is that multitasking thing again that is not working so well for me. So I'll tell you what. Would you get, let's see if this is it. Nope. Yep. There it is. Okay. Good. Okay. We found it. All right. And George has got a question about, what does that say?
He's got a question about, he has oatmeal and he wants to. It's expired, and he wants to see if he can use it as a compost.
That's interesting. Hadn't thought about that. All right. Well, that's pretty interesting. Hold on 1 second. All right. And that is on line one?
Correct.
All right. George?
Hello, hello. It's a beautiful morning here in Gary, Indiana. I can't say how much I love this crazy weather.
It's going to go well. It might not go away. We might have it for a while here, but
I can tell you that as far as like robins, okay, that's one indicator for me. Last year the robins got here about mid-April, early May, something like that. Mm-hmm. They're already here.
Massive
amounts yeah. of geese are migrating daily for the last 2.5 weeks. And they circle around in little cows on the other side of the South Shore tracks here. And there's a lot of open marsh areas. Even though it's an industrial area, there's a lot of marsh and wooded areas in between the industries.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though we're pretty much here.
Oh, and you've got a rooster there, too.
What's that?
You got a rooster there, too.
Oh, yeah. With this particular area, my neighbors grow chickens. So I get a lot of free eggs, which is fantastic.
That explains it.
Yeah.
Well, I had to get out of the house anyway. I'm listening on the Sunday shows. Paul Ryan is lying to the American public. We got to cut food stamps for working Americans so we can pay for more tax cuts for the rich. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Neither but anyway, do I. But no, but, you know, that's actually, George, that's a good reason to listen to the Mike Novak Show on a Sunday.
Absolutely. I don't get my blood pressure up, and I can drink coffee without blowing a gasket.
So
anyway, the thing is, I got this oatmeal. I cleaned out a place, 3 bags, 3 pounds each of rolled oats or whatever it is, quick oats. And they're way past their due date. I was wondering, will it work or will it be beneficial as a soil amendment or if I roll it into my compost?
My feeling is that I don't know how beneficial it's going to be. I think it might be pretty benign. I don't know that it would hurt anything. I tell you what, I'm going to sandbag my guest here, Abby Ray from the Morton Arboretum. Abby, are you there?
I am.
Did you hear that question?
I did.
What do you think?
I feel the same. I don't know that it would be incredibly beneficial, but it's not going to hurt to be the best thing to do with it, I would think.
It's an organic material.
Yeah, it is. And we.
If you feel the texture of it, I thought maybe to help aerate the soil. I don't know. You know, it feels like a kind of a rough texture when it's uncooked.
Well, you know, what it does is it aerates your stomach. And
that ain't all, buddy.
I know. and certain other tubes there too. Yeah.
Enough said on that.
Yeah, exactly. But for the same reason, and Abby and I seem to concur on this, it shouldn't be a particularly huge problem. I would think. I think it would be fine. And if somebody has a reason why you shouldn't put it in there, they can call me at 773-763-9278. But I see no problem with that, George.
Excellent. Hey, one other question.
Sure.
I'm intoxicated by the beauty of this weather, and I am dying to get my tomatoes, potatoes, and peppers in, and I know it's too soon. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's too soon.
I had a friend of mine.
I wouldn't say potato.
This might be a possible way to extend the season.
What might be a possible way to extend the season?
If we drop some stuff now, put it in now.
Well, here's the thing. All right, here's two things you have to worry about. One, and Abby, you can help me out here, okay?
Sure.
I know you're not a veggie person, but I'm sure you've encountered vegetables on occasion, right?
My husband is rototilling the garden this morning, wanting me to put things in, so I'm under the same push, but I'm going to tell him no.
Right. What did he want to plant?
Well, he just wants to get the soil ready. He wants to do the hard work, and I'm supposed to get the plants in. There's seeds in the ground, so we have to, you know, it's a little give and take, as you know.
Yeah, and I would think that tomatoes, not so much.
Yeah,
certainly not peppers.
What about the taters? The taters seem to grow no matter what I do. They grow by accident in my compost too.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, potatoes. Yeah, I would think that that's not a huge issue. Would you, Abby?
No, the only thing we would have to worry about is if we do have a lull. You know, they would rot if we did get colder temperatures where the soil would, you know,
right. And that's the caveat here, George, with everything.
Yeah,
you know,
hard freeze.
Exactly. We are still in March. Okay, it is possible. It could happen. We are in Illinois. This is Chicago. You're in Gary.
Right.
It is basically the same place, and those sorts of things are going to happen.
Can I share something with you, though? A friend of mine, an older gentleman who kind of got me started about 12 years ago, I started just a small garden. My dad used to grow tomatoes and stuff. This guy was commenting on just about what I said, that the trees, the grass, I've got 4-inch grass here. I've got to cut it tomorrow if it doesn't rain. It's really looking shaggy.
Yeah.
And the main thing was the robins and the other birds that are showing up. He's seen blue jays in his yard. This stuff is coming way too early, and it would seem to me that the wildlife kind of knows if we're going to be hit again or not. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, no. See, one of the things that, and I'm trying to figure out, and Abby might be, I know you're not an entomologist, Abby, and I'm hoping in the next week or so to get an entomologist on the show is to talk about the timing of everything. You know, birds feel the warmth, but are the insects there from the soil? Are the flowers?
Earthworms, buddy.
And with flowers coming out, is the pollination going to happen exactly right? Are we going to have the right pollinators around? Because the timing is so screwed up. It's a very interesting question, and that's kind of what we're going to get to here this morning,
cool.
George.
Well, listen, I appreciate your help. Keep up the good work, and thank you for cooling me down from that idiot Paul Ryan.
You know what? I recognize your voice now, George. You're on a promo. Right?
I appreciate that. My grandkids get a kick out of that. Is that Grandpa?
It is Grandpa. I put together a promo because you called in one time and you said, we don't want to know about the food stamps in Iowa. We don't want to. But can I ask you a question about my garden? And you
exactly.
hear that on WCPT.
Exactly.
That's
the thing. They know Grandpa is a gardener and somebody who's constantly ranting and raving about idiot politics.
I appreciate
your show.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for calling. You have a great day, George.
Good one. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and everybody who's listening, if you don't go outside, it's a crime.
Really? All right. Good advice to wise advice right there. All right. Bye. This is the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That leaves us with you, Abby. I was going to say one more thing, though. I had one more event. The Historic Pullman Garden Club this afternoon is going to have, and it's interesting, it's their winter lecture series. Not exactly winter anymore. A City in a Garden by Julia Bachrach, who's with the Chicago Park District. She's a historian. And it's going to be at the Greenstone Church from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm looking here to see if I have the address of the Greenstone Church. Yes, It's the Greenstone Church Fellowship Hall, 11211 South St. Lawrence in Chicago. So that's at 3 o'clock, and she's a historian for the Chicago Park District, Julia Backrock. So I've gotten, I think, most of the announcements that people wanted from me. Abby, how are you?
Pretty well. How are you?
Okay. Abby is the manager of horticulture at the Morton Arboretum, and I've got her on the show because I kind of, you know, sent the word out the other week and said, this is really crazy. We got to talk about this. And last week when Jennifer Brennan was here from the Chalet, and who's going to be my co-host on Dig In Chicago, feel free to go to Dig In on Facebook and like us. I'd like to see a few more likes up there today. But we talked mostly annuals, perennials. We talked some veggies, like we're talking veggies today. But in all of that shuffle, the trees seem to have been short shrifted. And trees are probably the biggest deal in terms of crazy weather, wouldn't you say, Abby?
Absolutely. They're not as easy to, you know, pull in and out of a protected space or to cover if we have freezing temperatures. So those that are leafed out, if we do have those, you know, a killing frost or really low temperatures, we will see damage, and some will recover and some won't.
Yeah, and that's an interesting question. And what I want you to put your thinking cap on for a second while I take care of some business here, Abby, and maybe come up with a short list of trees that people should be on the lookout for that they might own that might be more susceptible to some damage if weather decides to get closer to normal or goes weird the other way. There's no reason we couldn't have a cold snap, I guess. That is Abby Ray from the Morton Arboretum. We'll be back with her in just a second. Speaking of trees, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Choosing a tree for your property is part art and part science. City trees have to tolerate some tough conditions, including wintertime road salt spray and runoff. Roots have a hard time penetrating Chicago-area soil, which is typically clayey, alkaline, as we mentioned earlier in the program, with rocks and rubble mixed in. Some of it dates back to the Great Chicago Fire. Chicago soil also tends to be I just said that. Okay, I got ahead of myself here. It has a high pH, is what I mean, making it hard for some trees. This is what happens when you're riffing off of your own copy. It has a high pH. It makes it hard for some trees to extract the essential nutrients they need, like pin oak and red maple trees. Meanwhile, asphalt trees, streets and parking lots soak up heat, creating urban heat islands that put additional stress on trees in summer. And of course, Chicago trees must be able to withstand extreme cold too. The Care of Trees can help make the right decisions about choosing a tree. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at where you want a tree. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally Schmidtke is not a real doctor. The little green pills he prescribes are actually Mike and Ike's. We have a couple of tips from Wally this week. His first tip is for those of you who will be planting peas this spring. Wally says, and peas are cool weather crops. You could get those in the ground now. He says that when the hot weather arrives and the plant is spent, don't dig up the roots. Simply cut off the stems and leave the roots in the ground. Peas pull up nitrogen from deep in the soil and leave it there for future plantings. His second tip is to put organic fertilizer on your garden or lawn before a rain to let nature water it in. Now, if you use city water that has been treated with chlorine, it can disrupt probiotics and mycorrhizae in natural fertilizers. So you might want to let that water sit for a little bit, and that will help make that well, it gasses off is what you do, and I do that in my own house. He mentions that you can do the same thing for plants indoors, and I as I'm letting water run to get warm, I fill up old milk containers, and then I let it sit, and it gasses off, and it gets to room temperature, and it's a lot better for your plants because they're not crazy about chlorine. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or call them or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm on the line with Abby Ray, who's the manager of horticulture at the Morton Arboretum. So what are you seeing there besides everything in bloom at the same time? Is that sort of the when you take a walk around the grounds there, is that what you're chiefly struck by?
Oh, it's pretty unbelievable. We're really being spoiled. We've come through a winter where we didn't have some of those bud-killing temperatures. So not only are we having this explosion of you know, everything blooming at once, our early spring going into our late winter going into early spring, but we have plants, trees, shrubs blooming all the way to their tips without any real dieback, which is really remarkable.
Yeah, that is something that I hadn't thought of before. That the winter has been so kind that trees that normally have a little bit of dieback haven't had much at all. So how does that change the equation? Does it mean anything?
Well, it's wonderful if you think about it from a photography standpoint, or if you're into color and texture. I mean, it's quite a treat to be able to see all this. At once your forsythia is blooming at the same time, as your red buds, and getting into even your lilacs. So it's an explosion, really. I do worry about the pollinators and, what we might pay for in the future if we do get some killing frosts here before we get to the first part of June. We have quite a ways to go, but we've come out of the winter with soil temperatures being warmer. Our honeybees have had a really challenging winter. They had gone out of the hives and maybe didn't make it back in before temperatures were low. So we were dealing with fewer pollinators in the region, which I'm not an expert on, but I do understand we do have beehives on the grounds at the Arboretum. So we are going to see some effect of that as well.
I didn't realize that also. And what about the idea that some of the pollinators are going to be thrown off by the timing of all of this? What happens if all the flowers bloom at once like they're doing now and then they're done?
They're going to have to work pretty hard. They're going to be looking for perennials and some of our early summer blooming trees and shrubs that might be their only opportunity. Your butterfly bush and your roses and things like that, they're going to be challenged to find pollen so that they can be producing honey.
That's not good. I mean, bees have had a hard enough time as it is over the last few years. And now to throw this into the mix could stress them out even more, I would think.
Well, sure. And so if you do have trees that are under stress, those would be the ones that you would need to be concerned about if we do get a killing frost. We have Japanese beetle damage on lindens and, our bald cypress, in the summer, your plants that you normally, or shrubs you see that are the favored hosts of those plants. And it doesn't kill them. It is stressful. But if you do have plants that are, they're planted out of where they're most comfortable, or your non-native Asian plants, or you're just in a stressful planting location, you do need to give them that extra attention, maybe additional water, extra layer of mulch or something like that to help give them that boost so that if they do need to relief, if we do have killing frosts, to get them through.
Abby Ray is the manager of horticulture at the Morton Arboretum. Okay, what about that list that I said? Which trees are you keeping an eye on in case we have some cold weather?
Well, the younger, if you have a coveted, you know, say, an Asian maple, like a Japanese maple or a paper bark maple, something like that might not relief out of, you know, a stress or some sort of a frost. Those plants that might be in, you know, your sort of in your foundation landscape, something that you aren't going to want to look at without leaves, you know, or that might, if it didn't relief. But those native plants, you know, your oaks, your lindens, those are going to survive and relief. It will stress them out. It does take resources out of their root system to relief your crab apples. So it's just going to be a learning experience, certainly.
Let's go back to that for a second and talk this through completely, meaning that what would it take to cause damage to a tree that has leafed out? Or are you talking about trees that have started to leaf out? What are we looking at, and how cold would it have to get, and what kind of damage would it have to cause before a tree needs to leaf out again?
You're looking at damage like we had seen in about 2008, where on May 28th we had temperatures down in the lower 30s. Now, depending on where you are, you know, we see in the Chicagoland area, if you are sort of in a heat island location where you might not, your temperatures might not get down as low as maybe it would out in the suburbs, where they aren't affected by, you know, parking lots and, you know, that kind of thing. So down in the 30s is where you're going to see plants get frosted and then won't make it through. Our earlier leafing out, you know, your hackberries and things like that, they aren't going to see damage from that. It's really your non-native, more tender plants, like our Asian maples or Parotia, things like that.
Usually the native plants are smart about leafing out, and they don't do it until they're good and ready, and that's often what protects them. But this year, are even the natives getting fooled?
They're still slowly behind. You know, if you look out in the landscape, your oaks are still hanging on, sort of protecting themselves and closed up. But your crab apples are fully leafed out. Some of the dogwoods that are non-native are fully leafed out. And so if you have something like a Coosa dogwood, you're going to want to keep an eye on that.
So those are the ones that you would have people look at are, like you said, the Japanese maples and pretty much the non-native plants that I would imagine. Would magnolias take a hit?
Absolutely, sure.
Now, the thing is, they've already bloomed. Usually when you say, well, you're going to lose your bloom for the season, well, no need to worry about that. It's already happened.
Not at all. It was on fast forward. You didn't have to worry. We didn't have rain to destroy, rain or frost, to destroy the blooms, but the temperatures sped up the scenario this year, so they bloomed and they're gone. There are some later blooming, like Magnolia virginiana, Sweet Bay Magnolia that does bloom a little bit later, so we'll probably see that earlier than normal. We usually think that the Sweet Bay Magnolia would, you know, be protected from frost because it blooms, you know, in June, but I would think it's going to be sped up just like the others this year.
All right, now let's go to the other side. Not that we were imagining what happens if we get cold weather. What happens if we don't? What happens if it just continues in this vein? We really don't ever get past, you know, down below 40 or 45, and we roll into summer, and these plants have that extra growing, the extra growing days. Does that significantly affect the plant?
Not unless we're, you know, we go into another climactic change as we are having now. If we were to have an early fall, say, for instance, it could affect fall color on the other end. But not to be concerned with a longer growing season for trees and shrubs.
What about insects? What insects are you looking at right now?
We are European pine sawfly is one of our earlier sawflies or pests, which is something that we're looking at, one of the earlier pests. And so we haven't actually had sighting of that. So we're still safe as far as that goes.
And what trees do they affect?
That would be on your pines, and it actually affects like your Mugo pine in the home landscape. And that would be, it's something you can squish, sort of a, you know, pull and squish kind of a method to eradication. But they feed on last year's needles, so it doesn't affect this year's growth.
I had, and I'm going to be talking about this in a second. I talked to a guy yesterday. Bonide guy over at Alsip Home and Nursery, and he said that since we had a mild winter and now mild spring, a pest that you might want to be on the lookout for is scale. Are you doing that too?
We have scale on some different plants. We haven't seen magnolias are one that can be hit by scale. Certainly your cottony maple scale. It's generally, though, it's something that affects, as I said earlier, plants that are, you know, not planted in a location that they're suited for. So it's a stress situation. And if you can do your best to either, you know, plant the right plants in the, you know, right location, or just additional watering, you know, monitoring, you can remove those. There are dormant oil sprays that were passed now because it's a real tricky. It has to be 50 degrees, but the plant can't be leafed out, and it's not a toxic application, but you get a small window of opportunity to apply that dormant oil.
So, are you saying we're past the dormant oil stage? You can't use it at all because I know you can use them at other times of the year.
Later in the summer you can, but you know you're dealing with the adult stage of scale rather than when they're still dormant. So if the plant is, like for instance on magnolias, if they're leafed out, which they are, you're past your dormant oil application stage.
Interesting. What final advice would you be giving people right now as we roll along in this spring? What would you tell them? I mean, obviously, if we get a cold snap and they've got a mature tree or even an adolescent tree, there's really not much they can do, is there?
Absolutely not. If you're in a situation where you could, you know, cover plants like we've done in some years where we get plants leafing out and then we get some hard freezes, you could certainly do that on, you know, a limited basis, depending on the size of your plants. But if it's not your, you know, mature landscape, I wouldn't expose yourself to more than what you can cover or, you know, bring under, you know, indoors. Just don't get yourself so far out there that you've, you know, planted all your seeds or put out your seedlings too soon, and, you know, and then you have to go purchase finished plants rather than what you have grown on to put in the home garden.
There you go. Wise advice from a person who knows, Abby Ray, manager of horticulture, Morton Arboretum. Thank you so much. You're always welcome on the show. I love getting information from the Morton Arboretum. And if anything weird happens again, continues to happen, would you get back to me?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You have a great Sunday, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We've got Paul Tukey coming up. Keith from Elgin has a great garden tip. I will get to him in a second. First, I want to tell you about Duratur from Bonide, a premium seed mix that will not only grow thick, it will grow both in sunny and shady areas, so you get that nice even spread. Bonide takes advantage of some of the best varieties of grass seed available for their DuraTurf grass seed mixes. You can choose from full sun, sun and shade, and dense shade grass seed mixes that will give your lawn a head start, and it'll be self-repairing, disease and insect resistant, and will grow in poor soil. I always tell folks, you know, with lawns, you got a bare spot, and folks, I think they think it's going to fill in. They think, yeah, it'll fill in. Well, why wouldn't you help it? Why wouldn't you add some seed? If you had a plant that dies in your garden and there's a bare spot, you don't assume that the rest of the plants will fill in that. Same thing with a lawn. And the Dura turf is 99.9% weed-free, so you can expect a nice, even growth. Try Dura Turf Premium Grass Seed Mix from Bonide. You can find it at Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, Illinois, Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville, Illinois, Ebel's Ace Hardware in Homer Glen, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or Droid. And I should let you know that it's the final day of the Alsip Home and Garden Annual Flower and Garden Show at both locations in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana. Here's a couple of reasons why you should stop by. John O, who's the Alsip Green Team expert, he's their rose guy, and the O stands for Opoka. And I talked to him for a while yesterday, and he's talking roses, and yeah, roses are leafing out right now. And he'll be in Frankfort at 11:30 this morning, and then in St. John at 2:30. That's dedication, popping from one store to another. Of course, because of this crazy weather, your roses are popping right now, so you want to know how to care for them. Also, Dr. Earth is presenting in St. John, and Bonide had seminars in both locations. Of course, both companies are great sponsors of the Mike Novak Show. And don't forget, if you go to Alsip today, you'll have a chance to win the new Apple iPad. You can have food and fun and, of course, great plants and their garden products at Alsip Nursery. So join them for their lawn and garden show event today. In Frankfort, you go to Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Get the schedule of events at alsipnursery.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
There's still plenty of time to order your D. Landreth seed catalog and seeds. Here's another great reason. The herb purslane. I know. You think it's a weed. Well, this plant is a member of the Portulaca family, and it's native to North Africa, the Middle East, and the Indian subcontinent. It made its way to North America sometime during the pre-Columbian period, prior to the 1400s. Purslane is actually one of the most nutritious leafy green vegetables that you can put into your body. Listen up. The plant's leaves, stems, and flowers are edible. These leaves, stems, and flowers contain more omega-3 fatty acids than any other plant. In fact, the plant contains an extraordinary amount of omega-3 for a soil-grown plant. Most of us source our omega-3 from fish and algae. And the plant also contains vitamins A, B, C, magnesium, calcium, potassium, and iron. And it's an excellent source of two potent antioxidants, beta-cyanins and beta-xanthins. I can hardly say it. You can order this incredibly nutritious plant from the 2012 D. Landreth Seed Company catalog. Log on to landrethseeds.com, find them on Facebook, or call 800-654-2407. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. And tell them Mike sent you. Paul Tukey is standing by to talk lawn care and conferences and his new book. And we'll get to him in just a second, but I had Keith call from Elgin. And Keith, I understand you got a garden tip for folks.
Well, yes, your flora socks that you were talking about. In England, we have what we call planter sacks and things like that, which are sold in the nurseries and everywhere, and there is such a spin-off on the Labour Man.
Keith, you're in a windstorm.
Sorry?
I can hear the wind. Are you in a hang glider right now?
No, sir. I'm going to go indoors now. I'm in my front yard deadheading daffodils.
Deadheading daffodils already, eh?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's terrible to do that this time of year. But
it is, isn't it? But you got to do it, and they're spent. They're done, a lot of them, most of them.
Yeah, best way to save them for next year is to do that.
Right. That's a real good point. Deadhead the daffodils, send the energy not into seed production, but back into the bulb.
Correct. Yeah.
Now that you're out of the wind, tell me about what it is you guys do in England.
Well, we have grow bags. They are plastic bags sold in the nurseries and everywhere. Fison's is a company that deals with them a lot. Miracle Grow also. And there's a spin-off from them. You grow tomatoes, you grow cucumbers, peppers, flowers, doesn't matter. And there's a spin-off in that you can have trays that you lay them in so it doesn't get dirty on your patio or on your deck. Also, lattices to grow your cucumbers up. It's a big thing in England where people live in high-rises and put them out on their verandas.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good and you were referring to the flora sock, or I called it the compost tube sock that we were talking about earlier on the show. But yeah, this is this is slightly different, but similar, I would think.
Correct, same sort of thing. And I didn't realize how much I'd missed my grow bags till I heard your show this morning. Now I'm going to buy some of them.
Well, good for you. You're right. It's a good tip. And if you have a contained system, then it's a lot easier to get your gardening done. Well, I'm going to let you get back to deadheading your daffodils there.
Well, one more tip.
All right, quickly, one more tip.
This is for your nurseries out there and your people who sell stuff in their nurseries. Put a tea room in.
A tea room?
Ours in England, we have huge nurseries.
Oh, I see, in the nursery, yes.
Tea room.
Maybe a coffee room in America. I don't know.
I don't know about that. You don't know how to make tea anyway. You make it with salt water over here.
Our tea is bad, huh? Well, all right. I think it's a great tip. I'll pass it along to all my garden center friends. All right.
Few little tables in amongst the flowers, and a place to buy tea or coffee and cakes and stuff.
It's a great idea.
It is.
All right, Keith, you have a great day and good luck deadheading.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And let's go to the phones and bring in Paul Tukey. Do you have tea rooms in the nurseries out your way, out east?
He's absolutely right. They have them all over England, and no, not so much. Not so much. I think they serve hot chocolate though this time of year. Although this year it's been so darn hot, you haven't needed the hot chocolate.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, those who were listening last week and wondered where Paul Tukey was, well, we just didn't communicate very well, did we?
No. For two guys who make a living communicating, I don't think we did a great job.
No,
I apologize for my share in that, and I'm happy to be on this week, and I'm happy to be coming to Chicago this week, and I'm excited to hop on the plane and be out there for a couple of days.
Yeah, you're going to be part of the Lawn and Landscape Summit Chicago 2012 at the Chicago Botanic Garden. The information is up on my website, but you can always just go to lawnandlandscapesummit.com or go to mikenovak.net, go to this week's show. All that information is up there. You're a busy guy because you also just came out with a book.
Yeah, it's called Tag, Toss, and Run. It's about the 40 greatest outdoor games of all time. And the purpose of the book is to not relegate an old-fashioned outdoor childhood out on the lawn to memory. When I was a kid, my mother would give me and probably you too, she'd give us a brown paper bag with a sandwich, maybe some sliced up cucumbers and a canteen of water, and say, be home at dinner time. And we would play games outside in the parks, on the little league fields, on our lawns all day long, and fight to be home at dinner time. And what's happened, this is the 40th anniversary of the introduction of video games, and childhood has fundamentally changed. So we're trying to talk about not just growing lawns to look at, but growing lawns to play on. And then, of course, once you send kids outside to play, we've got all the great games in there, bocce and croquet and badminton, the ones that everybody knows, and all kinds of games that we discovered from around the world. When we send our kids outside to play, they shouldn't be rolling around in a sea of pesticides. And, of course, as you know, Mike, that's what the Safe Lawns Foundation, safelawns.org, that's what we've been talking about now for years.
Yeah, and Paul is the founder of safelawns.org, and that's where you would go, safelawns.org. Great website, lots of tips. There's videos. There's just great information about natural lawn care. Some people prefer to call it organic lawn care. Whatever you call it, basically, let's break free of the synthetic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers and go a different route. And that's what the seminar is all about next Saturday. Actually, Friday and Saturday at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Friday is for the lawn care professionals. It's all day. But Saturday morning is for you and me. It's for all those people out there who have thought about this, want to do it themselves. And it's a half day, and it's it doesn't cost much. And you can get, it's like $40, and you get $5 off if you use the special code NOWAK. NOWAK, and you get $5 off either day, actually. So thank you guys for helping me get people in there with that code.
And you get a free copy of the book, Tag, Toss, and Run, by the way. The organizers bought 100 copies, so the first 100 people who show up on Saturday will get a free signed copy. I will be there to answer questions, to give a talk, and to sign the free books that they're going to be handing out. And there's another goodie bag of all kinds of cool stuff from the sponsors. So you get more than $40 worth of stuff for your $40 admission fee, or $35 if you're coming from your show.
Great. So use the code and get and I've got the link to Tag, Toss, and Run on my website if you want to find out about that book and, you know, try to lure your kids back out into the lawn and away from their video games. I say good luck with that. But it might happen. You never know.
You know, once you actually get them outside, we've been going around doing shows in promotion of the book, the co-author and myself, and the kids just absolutely love it. They really do. When you get grandparents playing with younger children, something I found out in my own household, my son's 19, and I said, hey, why don't you play this game with me from the book? It's called Molky, M-O-L-K-K-Y. It's my favorite discovery in the book. And he didn't really want to play with me, but as soon as I invited my mother to play with us, then my teenager thought it was cool. You know, I discovered that it's, you know, grandparents are cool, parents are not cool.
So we've
been having fun with it.
It's a sad truth. Yeah. I think Bedalia knows that, too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, she does. all right, we got about 4 minutes here, and I wanted to ask you about this crazy weather, and it's been way too warm in Chicago, and everything's blooming at once, and it's going to be done, and we're going to get to June, and there's not going to be anything there. But the other thing that's happening is the lawns, which wouldn't green up for, you know, 3 or 4 more weeks, they're all growing like gangbusters right now. So what are you telling folks about that here in the Midwest?
Well, I'm telling people not, you know, to look at the calendar and realize that we are going to have some tremendously cold days still ahead. And so don't go out and put the fertilizer down too soon. If you want to put down organic fertilizer with a low nitrogen count, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But don't put a high nitrogen product out there that's going to force out even more growth than we've been getting, because that new tender growth, if you get a 20-degree night, and we're bound to still, you know, 25-degree night, that fresh tender growth will suffer, and the lawn can suffer. So resist the temptation to get out there and treat the lawn like it is May or June, like the temperatures would indicate there for a while.
And you indicated something the other day when we were communicating, because this is normally the time of the year you would put down the corn gluten meal, which is your organic weed and feed, basically. And you're saying, we've actually passed that window.
Yeah, I mean, if you look outside and your forsythia is blooming or even going past bloom, then you've really passed the optimum time to apply corn gluten meal. You want to put it down just as the forsythia is breaking into bloom in the first place. That's when the crabgrass seeds are typically going, the majority of them anyway, are going to be germinating. And so people go out and they buy corn gluten meal as a weed and feed product and they put it down. And all that's going to do at this point is make the grass grow more and make the weeds grow more. It's not really going to do what you think you're buying it for.
Wow. Nope. It's just amazing that those, I mean, I had Abigail Ray from the Morton Arboretum on before you, and we got to talking about dormant oil, and she said, yeah, we missed that window. It's done. It's like these things are speeded up so fast that that's where it's catching people off guard. They're going to buy products that they can't use.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. The calendar has been sped up probably 3 to 4 weeks, depending on where you live and the closer to the water you are. And it's going to be a tricky gardening season. I think it's going to make your information more important than ever to stay on top of all this. But Mother Nature is always a pretty great equalizer. Some of the insects that are going to come out and think that it's summer already, they're probably going to get zapped a little bit by some cold temperatures. And in some ways, the best thing we can hope for is some cold temperatures in that regard.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be a really bad insect year.
The other thing, and we got about a minute left, is I had somebody tweeted in anticipation of you being on the show, the dreaded Creeping Charlie question.
Yeah.
What do you tell people these days?
High calcium limestone, not just regular limestone, but you want to get as much calcium down as you can, and that'll make the Creeping Charlie subside. Otherwise, you know, pull out as much as you can and overseed very aggressively in that area this spring at the same time that you apply the high calcium limestone, and you'll have a much, much less of a problem going forward.
High calcium limestone. What about, have you heard of this product, this Natria that uses iron?
The original name of the product is called Fiesta, and it's a naturally occurring chelated iron, and Bayer sells it under the Natria line. It does a tremendous job on dandelions, absolutely phenomenal, best product on the market for dandelions, even beats the chemical products. The Natria is a natural product from the iron. It does an okay job on Creeping Charlie and some other weeds, but you might have to reapply it. The thing that it absolutely does the best job on is dandelions.
There we go. Paul Tukey from safelawns.org. We'll see you next Saturday. He'll be here Friday and Saturday. You homeowners, go out to the Chicago Botanic Garden on Saturday for the Lawn and Landscape Summit, Chicago 2012. Get $5 off by just using my name. And as always, great talking to you, and I'll see you next week, Paul.
See you next week, Mike.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You've heard me speak about tree keepers who voluntarily help care for our urban forests, but you might not be aware of other volunteer opportunities through open lands, like Stream Leaders, a hands-on training course designed to enhance citizen participation in stream conservation, or Trail Keepers, who monitor and maintain nearly 350 river miles on 7 water trails in 9 counties in northeastern Illinois. The point is that open lands relies on volunteers to accomplish important conservation goals throughout the region. In addition, they offer classes that provide specialized training to help you prepare for these activities. Since 1963, Openlands has been protecting the natural and open spaces of northeastern Illinois and the surrounding region while teaching ordinary citizens how to be stewards of the land and water and its living treasures. Become a part of that community. Volunteer your time, donate to a project, or take a class. For more information, go to openlands.org. Openlands, conserving nature for life. Now, if you could sit down and chat with your future vegetables, want to know what they'd say? They'd say, give me Dr. Earth's homegrown probiotic vegetable garden planting mix. Please, please. It's rich in earthworm castings, kelp meal, and fishbone meal, and ideal for organic gardens. All Dr. Earth's fertilizers are high in humic acid, a natural root stimulator, and have cold water kelp, a growth hormone. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers can't be wrong. Visit drearth.com to find a dealer near you. And to be sure to check out their Facebook page, search Dr. Earth and click like for organic updates. You've heard, wait a second. The way I look at it, in the past 2 weeks, we started in winter, shot right through to spring and into summer. So now it must be fall, right?
Right.
Is that where we are? Okay. Get your shopping done only 12 weeks until Christmas. Well, if you're as confused as I am, you need a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Regardless of what the temperature is outside, the issue on sale is March, April, and there's a lot to inspire you, especially the story of a woman whose passion for gardening has been undimmed by a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Instead, Naperville's Mary Ann Ostrenga created a garden walk that has raised more than $300,000 for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. That's why Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is such a treat. You don't just learn about gardening, you learn about life. Even my column on the inside back page will occasionally include a fact. It's rare, but it does happen. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. And there we go, Bedali. I want to thank Ms. Lady B. Who's been helping me the last few weeks and answering the phones. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Next week, I got to tell you, I'm warning you folks, it's going to be interesting on the show. I can't even tell you what it is because it would just spoil everything. And by the way, I'm announcing my choice for One Seed Chicago. Go cilantro!
Yay!
I don't know why I did that. I think basil's just a bully. So I'll catch you next week. Go green or go home.